this is Russell Davies.
And Julie Covington.
Wishing you the sort of Christmas people are always telling you they used to have.
Back in the days of austerity, utility, and comparative sobriety.
When housewives stuffed the bird.
If they could find one.
Exactly. We'll be playing you some of the Christmas week requests from the early years of Housewives' Choice.
When women were too busy queuing to think of themselves as homemakers.
Queue makers, yes. Especially outside the butchers.
From the week beginning January the 12th...
said a Christmas report from 1946...
all domestic consumers will receive fivepence worth of meat free, but the meat ration will not be increased. A gift from Argentina of 15,000 tons of meat worth £870,000 enables this to be done.
It is a very nice thought on the part of the Argentine authorities,
Mr. Strachey said yesterday.
Mr. Strachey was the food minister. He hadn't had a very happy year.
Don't think that I don't realize what a bitter thing bread rationing would be for all of us a year after the end of the war. Then why have we had to come to it? The truest answer to that question is the most obvious. It's the destruction, and even more, the disorganization that's the inevitable aftermath of the war. Such disorganization was bound to hit this country hard because we live by drawing a large part of our food from all over the earth. You may grant all that, but you may still say, haven't mistakes been made, which have made things worse than they need have been? Why, yes, that's true.
Certainly. Mr. Starchy would have been a better name for him. That was all the food he had on offer. One item of good news did come in on Christmas Eve.
There will be no electricity or gas cuts during the holiday. Housewives should be able to cook the Christmas turkey or joint without fear of losing surprise.
Some families may not get their turkey in time for Christmas dinner, although stevedores at London Docks worked hard yesterday unloading the Highland Monarch.
A convoy of 11 lorries arrived in Cardiff yesterday with 7,000 turkeys from the Empire Balfour, which also brought a consignment of chickens.
Right up to Christmas Day, the progress of these individual vessels was followed as they struggled into dock, crammed to the bilges with wattles and giblets.
No wonder the popular carol request that year was this one.
I saw the ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw the ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning. And what was in those ships all three on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day? And what was in those ships all three on Christmas Day in the morning?
Our Savior Christ and His Lady on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Our Savior Christ and His Lady on Christmas Day.
Pray with us, sail those ships all three on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Pray with us, sail those ships all three on Christmas Day in the morning. All day sailing to Bethlehem on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. All day sailing to Bethlehem.
And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day in the morning.
And all the angels in heaven shall sing on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day.
was a liking on Housewife's Choice in those early days for recordings by all-star quartets, hence that one by Margaret Field Hyde,
Marjorie Thomas,
Hedel Nash,
and Dennis Noble, with organ accompaniment by Herbert Dawson.
Who arranged it?
Just in time for Christmas 1947, it was announced that
mattresses and floor coverings go off the ration today.
Great news if you fancied eating a carpet. You weren't likely to get any lino, either way.
Linoleum will be scarce next year because it is very popular in hard currency areas.
Like hallways, lavatories, and the cubbyhole under the sink.
The chill of winter was temporarily warmed up in South Wales.
Father Christmas,
Mr. W.J. Allen,
was taking a rest at a fair at Llangainog, Glamorgan, on Saturday night when his cotton wool beard burst into flames after he lit his pipe. He was slightly burned.
Never mind. There was every prospect that he was going to be able to lie down.
Mr. Harold Wilson, president of the Board of Trade, said last night that a much improved supply position had eased the mattress situation.
The international flypaper and feather duster crisis remained serious, as did George Bernard Shaw, who, facing his 91st Christmas, answered the following questionnaire.
As a humanitarian, how would you spend the ideal Christmas day?
Exactly as I would spend every other day.
As a socialist, would you give presents?
Giving seasonal presents is a sordid trade. I do not practice it.
As a vegetarian, what ideal menu would you choose for Christmas dinner?
Boiled mattresses, you might think. But no, he said he would eat what he could get, provided it was neither fish, flesh, nor fowl.
As a playwright, have you ever been to a Christmas pantomime?
Yes, but never a second time.
What an old misery. Needless to say, Shaw was not among the 300 grandfathers, all over 60, who made this degenerate record.
A daisy planted one day by a glancing star, planted by Daisy Bell. Whether she loves me or loves me not, sometimes it's hard to tell. Yet I am willing to share the lot with beautiful Daisy Bell.
Christmas sing-along in 1940s style, Daisy Bell, by a choir of eminent Victorians, the 300 grandfathers, all guaranteed over 60.
By 1948, the mattress situation was forgotten, but the turkey squeeze was on again.
Food Ministry enforcement officers at Belfast and Larne decided to investigate when they saw several crates marked rabbits. Reason? The rabbit's ears were sticking out conspicuously. Too conspicuously. The officers found that underneath the rabbits, the crates were packed with turkeys, consigned to firms in London and Glasgow.
The illegal immigrants were repatriated at once.
The president of the Board of Trade was back in the news.
32-year-old Harold Wilson last night told the Institute of British Launderers in London that his dress shirt was 17 years older than he is.
Which makes it nearly 90 now, and one of the oldest dress shirts in the House of Lords.
1948 was the Christmas when Mrs. Dorothy Dix of Cheltenham won £157.10 damages at Gloucester Assizes for having had her hair turned green by a Cheltenham hairdresser.
It emerged from the waving machine completely green. Clearly a case for the new National Health Service wigs, for which there was a Christmas rush. For women, there were five different types of utility wigs.
Bobbed, full transformation, complete wig. Semi-transformation, bald in front. Fringes, toupees, or patches.
I made that six. But perhaps one was meant for men, who otherwise only qualified for two types of Irish under the scheme.
Full wig or scalpette, bald top.
Most famous bald citizen of the moment was the infant Prince Charles, born in November and christened just before Christmas. A joyous occasion marred only by national envy. of the cake.
The cake has been made by students of the National Bakery School. Its ingredients include...
Gulp.
More than 80 eggs, rum and brandy, 9 pounds of sugar, 11 pounds of fat, and 23 pounds of fruit.
It was the eggs that amazed people, 80 of them. Some people never saw a single egg that Christmas.
Unless it was Vic Oliver playing King Yoke in Humpty Dumpty at the London Casino.
Then this baby comes along and qualifies for nearly 7 dozen. Still, it's in the tradition of Christmas, I suppose.
Virgin Mary had a baby boy. Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy, and they say that his name was Jesus. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. Oh yes, believer. Oh yes, believer. He come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. The angels sang when the baby born, the angels sang when the baby born, the angels sang when the baby born, and they said that his name was Jesus. He come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. Oh yes, believer. Oh yes, believer. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. The wise men saw when the baby born. The wise men saw where the baby born. The wise men went where the baby born, and they say that his name was Jesus. He come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. Oh yes, believer, oh yes, believer. He come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glorious kingdom.
Best known for singing If I Can Help Somebody, Edric Connor with his popular Christmas request.
For the babies of 1949, a nicer world was being prepared, or so a man called Geoffrey Hall intended.
In some nurseries this Christmas,
reported the News Chronicle,
no tears will be shed over Jack and Jill's tumble down a hill, nor will any child worry about Mother Hubbard's empty cupboard.
Because Manchester businessman Geoffrey Hall has at last found out what is wrong with the world. It needed an entirely new version of the Mother Goose jingle.
Alias Nursery Rhymes, published by Mr. Hall.
With the assistance of Lady Victor Paget.
As New Rhymes for Old, viz.
Seesaw, Marjorie Daw, Jackie shall have a new master. He shall have now a penny a day because he can work so much faster.
Obviously the result of an incentive scheme.
There was harmony in nature, too.
Three kind mice. Three kind mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife. She cut them some cheese with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing in your life as three kind mice?
No, not offhand. I can't say I did.
Nor me. And as for old Mother Hubbard...
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her wee dog a bone. When she got there, she found plenty to spare, and so the dear dog had one.
Yes, and he had a boiled egg after that as well. Which reminds me, of course, that...
All the king's horses and all the king's men soon picked up Humpty Dumpty again.
How very helpful and public-spirited.
Just like the newly nationalised British Railways, who, according to a reported telephone conversation, were already on the kind of form we associate with them today.
Hello?
Hello.
How much is a sleeper from Newport to Paddington, please?
Sorry, we don't know. That is a matter for Swansea.
What's the cost of a sleeper from Paddington to Newport?
£1.04.05.
Meat negotiations with Argentina were going even worse than that.
The meat talks have broken down. From December 31st, the meat ration will be smaller in size than ever. It goes down from 1/6 to a shilling. tenpence in fresh meat and tuppence in corned beef.
Bully for us. And there was no cream. You could make mock cream out of...
corn flour, milk, margarine, sugar and vanilla essence.
And just to make the housewife's Christmas complete, another suggestion from the News Chronicle.
A useful Christmas present for Mother, which can be made easily and cheaply, is this clothes horse. It is constructed so that the clothes do not overlap and restrict the circulation of air.
Wouldn't Mum be thrilled? A clothes horse. And failing that...
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Much requested Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Gene Autry and the Pinafores.
Apart from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Clothes Horse, what was available in the way of Christmas presents around 1949-50? Well, journalist Iris Ashley recommended the following.
I like those press-button telephone registers which snap open at the required letter, 1911.
The 99p of its day.
A snappy modern umbrella, around 70 shillings.
Fond of snappy articles, wasn't she?
Pretty embroidered hankies are a joy to any woman. 3 and 11 pence each.
And at that price, they would be. The Americans inevitably had more to choose from. On offer was the tooth garage, a piece of pottery
designed for bedside use to accommodate both upper and lower plates.
There are people, it seems,
the bewildered reporter continued,
who want a set of 8 beverage thermometers,
18 shillings,
to show whether their drinks are cold enough.
And there were people, possibly the same ones, who wanted highball glasses,
7 3/8 pence each,
which had red lipstick stains permanently baked onto the rim.
While a New York store found people who were happy to pay £1.03 for a chrome-plated gadget which firmly held a thick slice of bread so that it could the more easily be cut into 2 thin slices.
That's sounded a bit more like what the British needed, something to help make a little go a long way.
The only people not suffering from shortages seem to be the Navy. In 1950, it was their turn to turn the population green with envy. Or with something.
A gallon of rum, a gallon of stout, 50 dozen eggs, and 160 silver threepenny pieces were stirred into the Navy's Christmas pudding for 2,000 ratings at Plymouth yesterday. The threepenny pieces, it has taken all year to collect them, are all dated 1946 or earlier. The barracks cookery officer explained that the cupronickel in modern silver coins, with the acid in fruit used for the pudding, could set up a chemical reaction which might cause stomach upset.
A wise precaution. We could have had the entire personnel hooting into its collective tooth garage.
Would you like
a
Merry Christmas? And a creature of spirit, not even a mouse. Suddenly I heard a strange noise down below. So in the flare of pajamas, I went tippy-toe. I could see all safety from the spot where I stood. So I slid down the banister just as fast as I could. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. Didn't seem so long since I couldn't say. Sister Susie sitting on a thistle. Every time I try to speak, all I do is whistle. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth? See, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
City Slickers, doing over one of the sicklier hits of Danny Kaye.
Housewives preferred the satirical version.
In 1951, there was a new idea for Christmas week in Housewives' Choice. A different compere every day. Gilbert Harding, Jack Jackson, Sam Costa, and Richard Attenborough all had a go.
While down in Kent, Mrs. Margaret Thatcher settled down to the second week of her married life with
Dennis, a 36-year-old managing director from Erith, whom she met on the night of her adoption for Dartford.
The new fashion novelty that year, though I doubt whether that particular newlywed tried it, was for glued-on jewellery. Women actually had to insure themselves against skin damage at the point of sale. But in any case, model Gabby Young advised,
no stick-on pearls, ladies. They look like warts from a distance.
Sitting at my piano the other day, my mind was ill at ease. They were coming to take it away that afternoon. I was all by myself in a mellow mood, improvising symphony. My right hand was playing Mozart's Minuet, and at the same time, my left hand was playing Have a Banana from Carmen. And at the same time, my mouth was whistling a sextet from Louis Genie's. And while all this was going on, what do you think my foot was doing? While keeping time, it was cracking walnuts. You see, I had to eat too. Then in the midst of my soliloquy, a strange feeling came over me. My right hand stopped playing. My left hand stopped playing. My mouth stopped whistling, and my foot stopped cracking walnuts. Food became secondary. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I found it. I found it. The lost card. That's it. The lost card. So let's celebrate. I'm feeling great. I'm the guy who found the lost card. That's it. It hasn't changed. I'll have my name in the Hall of Fame because I went and found the lost card. Now, everyone knows Tchaikovsky wasn't recognized for 200 years. Brahms wasn't recognized for 300 years. Beethoven wasn't recognized for 400 years. But I can't wait that long. I've got only two changes of clothes. So let's celebrate. I'm feeling great. I'm the guy who found the lost cause. How I struggled. I worked my brain to the bone. First, I put an A-flat with a B minor. Then I put a B minor with an F major. Then I put an F major with a B minor. Then I tried an A and a B and a B and a G and a G and an E and an E and a D and a B and a G and a G and an E and a B and a G and a B and a G and a B. What kind of a piano is this? No apostrophes. People said I was mad. But that didn't discourage me. They said Mozart was mad. They said Puccini was mad. They said Louis was mad.
Who's Louis?
My uncle, he was mad. Soon my efforts bore fruit and I found it. Lost card. Music lovers, do you realize what you're hearing? I'll play it again. That's not the card. Neither is that. Neither is that. Neither is that. What happened to it? I've lost the card. A catastrophe. Lock the doors. Nobody leaves the place until I find it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sit down on the keyboard of this piano until the card is returned. That's it. The lost card. I found it by sitting on the piano keyboard. Very strange. I usually play by ear. So let's celebrate. I'm feeling great. I'm the guy that found the Lord Paul.
Nobody who declared he was going to celebrate because he was feeling great could afford to be ignored back in austerity days. That, of course, was Jimmy Durante.
The BBC at that time had the habit of producing a live international radio link-up programme, sending greetings round the Commonwealth. But in 1951, it all went wrong.
Eskimos yesterday disorganized the BBC's Plan to the Second World Hookup for Christmas Day, the most popular broadcast of the year.
The scoundrels! How did they do it?
They got measles. Everything was planned for the BBC to call in at a Quebec hospital for sick Eskimos. Transatlantic lines were booked. The BBC even laid on an aircraft to pick up frozen seal and take it to the Eskimos for Christmas dinner. Then it happened.
Measles. One of the things he came up with was a rather less ambitious live hookup to a light ship off Southampton. Come in, John Gielgud.
For our first call this afternoon, we opened the channel of free communication, that priceless gift which science has given us, to John Snagg on the Calshot Spit light vessel in Southampton water.
Hello, London. Six of us are down here, snug and warm in the lightmaster's cabin, and feeling a little dazed from the enormous Christmas dinner that we've just eaten. And riding here on this tiny, bright scarlet light vessel, anchored in the wide grey expanse of Southampton water, we're almost completely landlocked. Yet we sit right in the centre of one of the busiest shipping crossroads in the world. Here on board, there's a crew of five. The master, Mr. Goddard, is sitting next to me. And in your time, master, you must have seen all sorts and sizes of craft.
Yes, in my 33 years' service, I've seen them all go by. Tramps, tugs, liners, battleships, and sailing ships. To them all and their crew, a Merry Christmas.
From the Gifts of Christmas, produced live on Christmas Day, 1951. Nobody was quite sure what to wear outdoors that Christmas. It had been so mild. November had been so warm that the entire month had gone by without a power cut, causing widespread republication of an old rhyme.
If there's ice in November to carry a duck, there'll be nothing much after but sludge and muck. But if it is wet, with many a blow, there'll be ice after Christmas and plenty of snow.
Yes, and if fogs do arise that blacken your wedding ring, then heat waves will come, and you'll believe anything. Well, perhaps not. Besides, incredible things did happen that year, mostly indoors.
Whoa there, Rudolph. Now, this is the house. Now, hand me my sack.
Here you are.
Thank you. Now, help me into this chimney.
Come on in. Up. Up.
Ooh.
Up.
Ooh. It's a bit small, Rudolph. Ooh. Ooh. Here, I think I'm stuck.
Oh, no, 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 Santa.
When Santa goes stuck up the chimney, he began to shout. You girls and boys won't get any toys if you don't pull me out. My beard is black, there's soot in my sack, my nose is tickling too. When Santa got stuck up the chimney, achoo, achoo, achoo.
T'was on the eve before Christmas Day, when Santa Claus arrived on his sleigh. Into a chimney he climbed with his sack, but he was so fat he couldn't get back.
Oh, what a terrible fight. He stayed up there all night.
When Santa got stuck up the chimney, he began to yell.
Oh, hurry, please. It's all such a squeeze. The reindeer stuck as well. Oh, his head's up there in the cold night air. His nose was red, now it's blue.
When Santa got stuck up the chimney, achoo, achoo, achoo.
He wriggled and jiggled and cried with a frown.
I'll never get up, I'll never get down. Oh, what a terrible fuss. We should have come by bus.
When Santa got stuck up the chimney, he began to shout. You girls and boys won't get any toys if you don't pull me out.
My beard is black, there's soot in my sack, my nose is tickling too.
When Santa got stuck up the chimney, achoo, 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 achoo.
Well, what a silly song. Oh, ho, 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 ho.
The Billy Cotton Band with Breezy, Alan Breeze. And as the years passed, old Bill himself came to be a resident compere on Housewife's Choice at Christmas time, usually managing to include the odd one or two of his own masterworks, like that one.
When not occupied by Santa, chimneys and fireplaces of the domestic kind were now the home of a new fuel, nutty slack.
The first 1,800 tons of it were delivered in December 1952 in the northwest of England. But what was it? Said a Coal Board spokesperson.
Nutty slack is slack with nuts in it.
Trained by British Railways, evidently. Still, the turkey situation that Christmas was on the mend.
There will be more turkeys this Christmas than at any time since the war.
Even so, the women's pages didn't sound all that exciting yet when it came to food.
Say Gregory Peck came to dinner.
Says Sheila Hutchins.
What would you give him for lunch or dinner? This week, I'm giving you the recipe for a real old festivity standby. Hare or rabbit pate or terrine. It keeps for about a fortnight.
So if Gregory Peck came back, you could give him some more. Christmas presents for 1952.
Big earrings are in. They are frankly fake and make a nice change from all those timid imitations.
What's more, you didn't have to glue them on. And for the kiddywinks?
A child's felt bootie with spur at the back and a cutout of TV's Hank at the side, 14 and 6.
TV's Hank. Only a little phrase, but a sign of the tele-addict culture on the way.
Well, radio's biggest star was a wooden performer.
True enough.
Hello, Archie, old boy. My, you're looking sad. Is there anything wrong?
Yes, Bruff. Everybody keeps teasing me just because I'm not like other boys.
Well, now, they don't mean any harm, and you shouldn't let it bother you.
But it does. You see, I come from a very sensitive tree, and trees are like people. They can feel happy, and they can even feel quite sad and lonely.
Oh, and are there many trees like that?
Well, there was one tree that I always remember, down in the woods where I used to grow, quite near to me, just over the path. There was a little fir tree.
There was a little fir tree, a lonely little fir tree. And in the tree, the other trees would sigh with sympathy. Why was he sad? and lonely. There was one reason only, because he thought he was too short to be a Christmas tree. Then they cut him down for a house in town, and somebody dressed him in a tinsel gown. The candles gleamed, and he thought he dreamed to hear the kiddies shout with glee, "Oh, look, our Christmas tree!" Then with the car they crowned him, the kiddies danced around him. A Christmas tree, at last was he, the happy little fair tree.
Oh, that's sweet, huh?
You like it, Brown?
Yeah.
Well, sing it. Come on.
All right. Then they cut him down for a house in town.
That's right.
Somebody dressed him in a tinsel gown.
He looked pretty.
The candles gleamed, and he thought he dreamed to hear those kiddies shout with glee.
Oh, look, our Christmas tree.
Then with a star they crowned him, the kiddies danced around him. A Christmas tree, at last was he, the happy little fir tree.
And so, Brass, you tell everybody to be very kind and gentle to their Christmas trees, please, because you never know, it might be a friend of mine.
Peter Brass. And or Archie Andrews and the Little Fir Tree.
A natural Christmas request in its time, but so forgotten of late that it wasn't even in the BBC gramophone library.
Archie had a new face for Christmas in 1951.
It grins, smiles, sulks, in fact, puts on any expression. A plastic surgeon is building muscles in the cheeks and jaws, says ventriloquist Peter Brough.
Without moving his lips.
And the new face cost £2,000. Best value Christmas entertainment of 53 was a court case in which the great comedian Rob Wilton gave evidence for Eastbourne Corporation.
They were trying to get an exemption from entertainment tax on the grounds that their Winter Gardens concerts were partly educational.
Mr. Wilton,
said the court report,
was called upon to demonstrate how to tell jokes.
First, Lord Hailsham QC tried the jokes and raised not one solitary laugh.
Question, what is the difference between a male and a female hippopotamus? Answer, it doesn't matter except to a hippopotamus.
Said Rob Wilton.
I didn't recognize it as you told it.
Appearing with Hailsham was the Attorney General.
Sir Reginald Manningham Buller.
Otherwise known as Sir Reginald Bullying Manor.
Who tried out an Arthur Askey joke about the seaside landlady who said,
I charge 5 guineas and I don't want any children.
You've done that one in too,
said Mr. Wilton.
C's for the candy trimmed around the Christmas tree. H is for the happiness with all the family. R is for the reindeer prancing by the window pane. I is for the icing on the cake as sweet as sugar cane. S is for the stocking on the chimney wall. T is for the toys beneath the tree so tall. M is for the mistletoe where everyone is kissed. A is for the angels who make up the Christmas list. S is for old Santa who makes every kid his pet. Be good and he'll bring you everything in your Christmas alphabet.
Capital C
is for the candy trimmed around the Christmas tree.
H
is for the happiness with all the family.
R
is for the reindeer prancing by the window pane.
R
is for the icing on the cake as sweet as sugar cane. S is for the stocking on the chimney wall. T is for the toy beneath the tree so tall. M is for the mistletoe where everyone is kissed. A is for the angels who make up the Christmas list. S is for old Santa who makes every kid his pet. Be good and he'll bring you everything in your Christmas.
Dickie Valentine, a natural housewife's choice in the mid-50s.
1955 was the year when a Christmas present arrived for all British women in the shape of some conclusions reached by an American social scientist.
Professor Ashley Montague reveals that women are physically more robust than men and live longer. Professor Montague believes that if men had had to stand the pain of childbirth, the human race would have been extinct long ago. He discloses that housewives work harder than any other category of workers. They labor annually 46 million hours, while the rest of the active population of the globe work only 42 million hours.
QED. This triumphant vindication did not immediately improve women's lot, but at least they now had the backing of Hermione Gingold as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, mid pleasures and palaces though you may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. But a home is what you make it, and this week, to tell you how to make it, here is the housewife's voice for 1955, Miss Gingold.
And 1956. Ladies, now let's say you've got your premises. Then moving your sticks of furniture. Or if you're wildly contemporary, your furniture of six. Now, if you're going to redecorate, choose a color for each wall and stick to it firmly. When your husband comes home, tell him you can't tear yourself away. If he demands supper, give him a bite. If your bark is worse than your bite, bark at him. Better still, put him to work. Get him to plaster the ceiling. When thoroughly plastered, curled him and send him to bed. Is your family jazz mare? If it is, why not install swing doors into the garden and tell the children to dig that crazy paving?
From Grand Gingold, the inimitable, except by various impersonators, Hermione Gingold, introduced by David Jacobs. The culinary advice of Sheila Hutchins of the News Chronicle was by now getting positively bacchanalian.
Thinly sliced cold Christmas pudding, laid on a thin slice of Wensleydale cheese, makes a most pleasant mid-morning snack with the rest of the Christmas port or claret.
Mid-morning port or claret, eh? And the following year, 56, she was at it again.
Never send a knitted bed jacket to a dear old lady. What she really wants is a bottle of whiskey.
By the end of that particular year, she probably did.
Dr. N.L. Box, assistant curator of Kew Gardens, summed up 1956 by saying,
"It has been a vintage year for aspidistras. They love damp, gloomy conditions."
For men, electric shavers with a fashionable Christmas present.
And for women?
Bedroom mules, scarlet, gold or black, generously edged with self-shade fur.
1911? And among the reindeer, holly, sleigh bells and shepherds that year, this.
Across the Irish Sea. I'm walking backwards for Christmas. It's the only thing for me. I've tried walking sideways and walking to the front. People just look at me and say the pub is different. I'm walking backwards for Christmas to prove that I love you. An immigrant lad, a lad and an Irish colleen, from a Dublin's Galway boy. He longed for a romp, but he spurned his chance, and he sailed o'er the foam away. He left the land by himself on his own, all alone, a-sorrowing. And sadly he dreamed, or at least that's the way it seemed, buddy, that an angel quiet with him, an angel quieted the sea. Across the Irish Sea, I'm walking backwards for Christmas. It's the finest thing for me, and so I've tried walking sideways and looking to the front. But people just laughed and said, "It's a publicity stunt, for I'm walking backwards for Christmas. Oh, prove that I love you."
Hey, I didn't think much of that. I think that my side was better.
Get that toy.
The goons walking backwards for Christmas, and no cure has yet been found.
And through all these austerity Christmases, Miss Nora Herdsman had been working away, reaching a notable anniversary in coronation year.
Little Miss Nora Herdsman, 60-ish and grey, will put millions of greetings on millions of mantelpieces this year for the 25th year running, and nobody will know she wrote them. For Miss Nora, an Oxford scholar, writes Christmas verses for the biggest and oldest firm of greetings card makers in the country.
Her first ever effort was a Valentine, which she took in to show the manager in 1928.
You are the cream on my strawberries, and the peach in my Melba, too. There are many sweet things in life, sweetheart, but the sweetest of all is you.
Thank you, Miss Herdsman,
said Mr. Desmond, the manager.
You may go.
But she stuck at the job.
And produced for Christmas 1953 one of her favorites so far.
The words are short and few and very far from you, but such a lot is meant when the old, old wish is sent. Happy Christmas.
Thank you, Miss Herdsman. I'll go along with that. Happy Christmas. At the end of our seasonal journey through the Aspidistra years, this is Russell Davis
and Julie Covington
saying goodbye.
Good luck.
And go on, enjoy yourself. They gave up rationing a long time ago.
Down the socks and wash the cups and polish up the velvet box and off the box and down the road to Tommy. Tommy's free enough to drive your pony, especially when you're up in the army. Bonnie, sweet to cut and deep.